Blog Talk Radio.
Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here with my wonderful husband, Dr. Reggie Johnson, and also Gloria Wells, who moderates our chat room, and we're your co-hosts this morning as we start winding down our book study of Spiritual Partnership by Gary Zukav. This is, as he subtitles the book, A Journey to Creating Authentic Power, the Journey to Your Authentic Power. Amazing book. He just gives you some great tools to challenge the frightened parts of your personality. That's what he calls it. And basically, he's showing you how to overcome your fear. And fear is the big boogeyman in our lives. It can devastate us. It defines us. It imprisons us. It is the challenge to manifesting the things that we desire. So we are in the chapter that's dealing with applying the spiritual principles to our coworkers, and we're delving into the corporate structure and its dysfunction or how it functions right now, which I think is dysfunctional. I think Gary Zukav would say that as well. So we're going to delve into that a little bit more today. And, you know, I'm asking, of course, for you guys to press 1 on your telephone keypad if you would like to have questions or comments, because I think that this is just playing out in our lives and impacts us tremendously. We spend, if you're working right now for a corporation, we spend 7 to 8 hours there a day. That's like, what, a third of our life is working in so-called corporate America. And so it is an area that we need to really examine and figure out how we can be our authentic self within that environment. Good morning, Dr. Reggie. How are you?
I'm doing great, Cynthia. How are you?
Oh, man. I am awake. I love this cup of coffee you made this morning.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my goodness.
It's absolutely fabulous. So, Dr. Reggie, why don't you go ahead and take us into our morning prayer, and then we will resume our discussion, okay?
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we have the authority as your children, and I am so grateful that we do, to call upon all forces for peace and goodness. And I call upon the power that is within me. I release the frightened part of my personality and replace it with peace and love. In me there is peace, in me there is healing, in me there is understanding, and in me is divine love, because I am divine and a gift walking into these corporations and these corporate places and among other souls that gather and aggregate in places of love and worship and productivity. And everywhere I am, you are there in me, in the midst of me. And if there is negativity on any ground, my being will squelch it and equalize it or negate it altogether. Because in me there is the power of love. I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Wow. You know, you just sum it up so well, Dr. Reggie. You just sum it up so well. In me there is this power that can quell anything. So let's kind of wind back, you know, and look at this how he has laid this chapter out. He identified several organizations, the military, religion, and commerce, meaning corporations and businesses. And he says that all of those are in the pursuit of external power, which means that they're dealing with their five sensory humans. They're in the pursuit of external power. And of course, throughout this book, he has defined the pursuit of external power as being destructive and violent. He said it ends in destruction and violence, ultimately. Because what we're doing is we're fighting to survive. And so some of the byproducts of that is competition. No matter at any cost. Winning at any cost. And the backbiting, all of these things are byproducts of survival. And then he goes on, he really spends a significant portion of this this chapter talking about the economy and businesses and basically how they have defined their success. A corporation defines its success by the amount of money that it makes. And therefore, it is also pursuing external power. And in the midst of that, here you are as an employee in that environment. And so now you are challenged. So let's just kind of roll back and see some of the things that he has laid out. First of all, he says that an economy doesn't take into account the effects of the commercial activities in it that it has on people like the youth or the elderly or communities that host businesses or even the well-being of employees or the care for pregnant women or education for young people. It does not take into account their effects on the environment, the quality of life, health, global warming, or the well-being of the earth, humanity, or other forms of life. It measures only monetary value. It also reflects the pursuit of external power that generates five sensory businesses. So the economy itself does not care about the effect on people, on humanity. I thought that was, you know, and we need to accept that as the foundation. And some of you may feel like, oh my God, well, how do I remain spiritual? How do I have to make a choice between working and being a spiritual being, and I say stay with me because you do make a choice, but you will make that choice within that environment, and we'll talk about that. Okay, he then says, this is the reflection. All right, so let's stop and look at what this is. When something is not easily available and many people want it, the price increases. And also the reverse, when something is there's plenty is easily available and many people want it, the price decreases. Okay, so every economy assumes a shared intention of the individuals involved in commercial activities to maximize a self-benefit, which means there's a profit at all costs to others. And these assumptions are not made by economies, since economies are not real things. They are made by people who study economies. and they accurately describe the continual pursuit of five sensory individuals to manipulate and to control and take advantage of circumstances in order to make themselves feel safe and vulnerable. So, you know, there's this whole statement out here that one of the candidates said that corporations are people. And in essence, he's telling the truth, okay? But if the people that are in control of the corporation are all making decisions based on how much money they can grab, that means at some point that they believe that there can be a lack of money, which means that they're pursuing this business with fear, right? Does anybody disagree with me? They're pursuing that from a place of fear. This is, and he is really trying to, he is looking at one of the cornerstones of our society. And actually he's looked at three or four of the cornerstones of our society. The military, the religion, and commerce, three. And all of them are based on fear. So he says, look, you're in this environment, you're working in this environment. And he says, no matter how understanding your boss or congenial your coworkers and constructive the products or services that your company provides, the enterprise itself is the pursuit of external power and the participation in five sensory individuals within it serves the toxic pursuit of external power. And no matter how many benefits or lack of them employees receive, the bottom line of every corporation is net revenue. And all intelligence, all creativity, and resources available are continually directed toward maximizing the bottom line. How much money are we making? And this occurs whether or not employees have invested in the company stock or are eligible for bonuses, whether they are executives, managers, clerks, or janitors, and whether customers of the enterprise are individuals or other companies. Their quality of service and excellence of product have no value to the enterprise apart from increasing its net revenue. Employees also have no value to the enterprise apart from increasing God bless you.
Excuse me, thank you.
It's net revenue. So this is the context in which coworkers interact. And it appears to be shockingly disconnected from ourselves. It's a grotesque portrait of an alien consciousness, but is it really? And here's his challenge, okay? He says, we real at the monstrosity before us and around us and wonder what our relationship with it could be. How do I fit in this cause? I'm a spiritual being. I'm aware of my spirituality. How do I fit in this madness? And he gives you this example. He says, like spectators at a movie, Dr. Reggie, I'm going to mute your line. Like spectators at a movie that we did not expect to see, we are very surprised and very confused, and we blame the actors for this dismal experience, but we do not know how to leave the theater. So what do? We blame the producers, we blame the director, we blame the screenwriter, and then we blame the cinematographer, the makeup artist, the grips on the set, but still this movie is playing on. And we continue to be absorbed in it without even thinking about where we are. We're in the theater. And so basically he's saying, he's making an analogy between us going to work in these environments and not knowing how to get out. And rather than to walk away from them, just to leave the theater, he says, we start blaming everybody in there. And isn't that what happens in these places? I've worked in environments and everybody complains. Oh, they, you know, there's the big they. They don't, they're doing this and they're doing that. And, oh, did you hear? Blah, 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 blah. And they're little cliques that just blame. So he says, coworkers gossip, they seek allies against common threats, and they plot their advancement, or they're terrified by their managers, and they fear losing their jobs and so on. How many of you have seen that play out? And some behaviors of frightened parts of a personality are rewarded. And this is what he says, such as workaholism or even perfectionism, that they coined that, oh, she's detailed oriented. And others are punished, such as procrastination. So, and a product is rolled out. And public relations begin, and shareholders are demanding more. Executives strive to provide it, and the security of everyone in the enterprise depends upon the success or the failure. So basically, a lot of people are in jobs, and they don't know whether they, in the back of their mind, they're always thinking, I may lose my job. And everything that they're doing is based on this fear that I may lose my job. So he goes on to say that when he's explaining his analogy between that and a corporation, a workplace, and a theater, he says the employers are actually the producers, and the managers are analogous to the directors, and supervisors are analogous to the cinematographers, and your fellow employees are analogous to actors. But who are you analogous to? You are the viewer. And you're totally absorbed in this movie. But your role is not passive, as it appears. Why? Your intentions also appear on the big screen. And this goes unnoticed while you're focusing on the movie. But when you focus on your internal dynamics, in other words, the frightened and the loving parts of your personality, it becomes undeniable. So here it is, guys. You're in the middle, right in the midst of this organization. And Gary Zukav is saying, look inside of you. What's going on with you? What are your intentions? And this blew me away when I got to this part. He says, the frightened parts of your personality strive to obtain the most for the least. Now he's throwing it right back into commerce. When we go shopping, I shop all the time. I'm looking for the best deal. I'm looking to save money. So therefore, I'm looking for the most that I can get for the least amount of money. Obtaining the most for the least equals and means I'm getting the maximal profit for the minimal expense. And that's an integral part of commerce, the movie. So I'm creating advantage, for example. I'm outmaneuvering the competitors in the central, which are central to the movie. And the frightened parts of my personality fear not having enough. Fear of not having enough. In a corporation, that's not having enough market share, that I'm not grabbing enough of the marbles. If I'm selling marbles, that I don't have enough of the market I want to have all of the market. Well, that may not be realistic. But at least I want to have 50%, 90%, 70%, 80%. How much of that whole market of marbles can I have? Frighten parts of your personality fear not having enough. Fear of not having enough is the theme of the movie. Once you recognize the intentions of the frightened parts of your personality, you cannot avoid recognizing them on the screen. So the shocking movie is not a creation of morally deformed individuals who create apart from you, profit apart from you, exploit apart from you, and seek value and security through the pursuit of external power apart from you. It reflects the intentions of the frightened parts of your personalities. He is saying that this corporation, this thing that's so dysfunctional, is a reflection of our fear of not having enough. They fuel the frightened parts of other personalities who appear to create and maintain this destructive system. But those individuals are not separate from you. They are your proxy creators. So now what is he doing? He is linking us to the mess. First of all, let's go with the premise, and we know this, that we're all connected. So there has to be an agreement here about our fear. We've agreed to this belief, and it's only a belief which can always be changed, that the more money we have, the more successful we are, which means if we don't have money, then there's going to be a problem and we're going to be and things aren't going to work out right for us. And that there's only a limited amount. So therefore, I have to grab as much as I can. All of it is fear, 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 fear. So this movie, this workplace that holds your attention captive, is a micro experience of the pursuit of external power that appears globally through the activities of international corporations and locally through the activities of businesses close to home and intimately through the painful experiences that frightened parts of your personality create. So I guess there is a trickle-down effect here of fear, is it not? So it brings to the screen the needs and the deeds of five-century humanity that evolved through surviving, the needs and the deeds of a multi-century humanity that evolved through growing spiritually. And now it requires a different movie, a different kind of workplace. And you create it when you create your authentic power. So it's he's saying, one by one, we can change this when we face our own fears. And when we convert our fears to love, one by one, we change it. Remember, when you change, the things around you change. I just think it's a powerful message. So he says, changing the movie does not require changing others. You don't have to change your employer, your manager, your coworkers, or your shareholders. It requires changing you. You change yourself when you use the tools that he's provided you with, the spiritual partnership guidelines, and the changes that you make in yourself change the movie. I got a few people in the queue that want to talk. Hold on one second. Let me see what's going on. Good morning. 6259, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
Cody Smith.
Hey, Mr. Cody, how are you this morning?
I'm good.
You have a comment this morning or question?
No, I just choose to listen this morning.
Oh, okay. I saw the little, you pressed one, so that's okay.
All right, baby.
All right. Good morning, 2968, you're on the air.
The same thing, good morning to you all. I've inadvertently hit the one, and I'm just listening.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, love you all.
Love you too, precious. All righty, so let's go ahead and continue our message this morning. He says that your experiences with your, he says, as you make these changes, then your experiences with your coworkers change. Because each time you challenge a frightened part of your personality or cultivate a loving part and cultivate the loving part, then you contribute differently to the collective consciousness and the movie begins to change. I just absolutely love this. He says, if a coworker begins to gossip and you use the spiritual partnership guidelines instead of gossiping with her, the movie changes. You know, I was working in a law firm. I did worked in law firms most of the time. And the last job I had, there was a shift in power. It's kind of interesting to watch all of this play out. There was one person that was working there, and she decided to leave. And so there was this void, this position. And she had a hold on, you know, a lot of influence, let's put it that way, over some of the attorneys working there. So now they were looking for a go-to person. Well, I'm new as a firm. I don't know all of the dynamics, okay? But I worked in a department that this person left. And so people were scrambling all around to fill this void. But I didn't get it. I didn't understand the power play that was going on. And there was one particular girl that was doing this that perceived me as a threat. I still didn't get it. Okay, I'm still stupid. Well, I just won't say stupid. I was just unaware. And so, you know, I'm in a position where I had to make recommendations to this team in terms of how to deal with things. And she just wanted to put holes into it everywhere. And so she, I don't know what all she did, behind my back, but she was very active at some point. And I was just not fazed by it. I only wanted the best for them to do the work, get their work done. And so if they shot it down, they shot it down. And none of it made any sense to me, but what could I say? It was a totally different experience than I had ever had in my work life. I'll put it that way. So it was maybe a year later, the firm was laying off a lot of people. And this girl comes to me and she said to me, she said, you know, I want to apologize to you. And I said, apologize for what? She said, I did not realize at the time, I did some things that made people perceive that I did not like you. And she said, and when I look back over this, I realized that I was really afraid of you. And I didn't understand why I was afraid of you. And I said, really? She said, no, I didn't. I did not realize why I was afraid of you. And I said, why would you fear me? She said, I recognize now that it was your spiritual power. Because I never lashed out at her. I never had any resentment. I always embraced her from the loving part of my personality. And it blew me away because I didn't walk around in this environment talking about I'm a spiritual being. But it blew me away that she would recognize that. It blew me away that was reeking from me, because I'm still amazed that I'm here teaching you guys spiritual principles, because I feel like I'm the least person to teach, but it seems to be what I should do. So I don't have any ego about my spiritual development. There's no ego there about it at all. As a matter of fact, I'm always striving to be better, 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 more in touch, more in tune, more loving. I have my failings, just like all of us. But I quickly forgive myself and wind the tape back. So somewhere, somehow, the way I responded, not react, but the way I chose to respond, she recognized something else in me, and that frightened her. But guess what? When you move through an organization with that energy, when you're not coming from a place of fear, when you are coming from a place of love, you get to change that organization. It begins with you. And so, you know, Barack Obama had a wonderful statement that he said, and he you know, they jump on every little thing. That any of these politicians say, but he said, I recognize now that you cannot change Washington from the inside. It has to be changed from the outside. And what he was referring to is that you, the people, have to change Washington. Washington needs to be a reflection of your consciousness, of each individual. So if we're filled with fear, our politicians are operating from that place of fear. I don't think that most of the pundits on television really understand the power of what he said. He was really giving us the power. He was empowering us as spiritual beings. So the question now is, how much do we want to change? How much change do we want to see? And how much courage do we have to change within ourselves so that our government and our businesses and our environment is a reflection of the love that is within each of us? I think that's enough for you to chew on today, huh? Listen, if you have a question or comment, please press 1 on your telephone keypad. Good morning, 2345, you're on the air.
Good morning, it is Gloria. Good morning, Ms. Cynthia and Dr. Reggie.
Good morning.
I just wanted to jump in here and just say that this experience, once again, here's a great example of something, you know, happening in my life, and then me getting the confirmation that I'm always looking for. This works beautifully with what I've just experienced in, you know, in corporate, in my corporate position, experiencing a change or a shift in myself and being able to observe that in other people. I'm reminded this morning so much of how when I made my presentation that it seemed to fall on a different set of ears than I had dealt with before. And now I'm fully realizing that it was my shift that caused the seemingly shift in them. So it's just an amazing circle, and you know, I'm just able to really make a connection this morning with this material and my life. And what's so beautiful is that, you know, I gave my experience before we even got to this chapter.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I love your story. I do. I absolutely love that journey.
Yes, it is just amazing to be able to have an experience and then be able to read this material and say, you know, great, that's exactly what I'm experiencing. That's exactly, you know, I'm able to fully relate to where we are right now, speaking about corporate America, because I've literally gone through that. I've literally had to set aside, if you will, the frightened parts of myself, or at least, you know, bring some awareness to those frightened parts so that I could allow the more healthier parts of me to speak and be present. And so it's just amazing to have actually physically seen that the transformation that we're talking about here in this chapter. I've experienced that live and in person and very recently. So it's just an amazing thing, and I just wanted to jump in and add that to the conversation today.
Thank you so much for sharing, Gloria.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Gloria is in our chat room, moderating the chat room, and so I as a co-host, and she's just amazing. So if you guys ever have a chance to jump into the chat room, please do, because she does a beautiful job. And just how she supports the teaching and how she works with people that come in there. So go to the chat room and have some fun with Gloria. I'm telling you. She's got a little group that follows. Dr. Reggie, I'm going to turn your mic off. I know you're kind of... Yeah, clearing your throat. I'm sorry about that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Gee, how are you?
Hi, good morning, Cynthia and Dr. Reggie.
Dr. Reggie's saying good morning. I have his mic off this morning now because he was having trouble with his throat. What's going on?
Oh, yes. This is exciting to hear Gloria's testimony and her celebration. I have a testimony and celebration, too. I love it because when you do change, your whole world change. And I went through experience that once I shifted and changed my energy, my whole world has changed. And I understand that on another level now. And what I love, I was able to give my testimony to my niece.
Mm-hmm.
And what I went through of changing of making a change, a shifting, and she did it, and I just love it because you're able to pass it on. Once it happens to you, you're able to help someone else, and I want to share that.
Exactly. We're all light workers. All of us are light workers. Thank you so much for sharing. When you get this message, you don't want to hold it in. When you get the lesson, you're going to share it with everybody. When you really get it, there's no way that you can hold it in. And I think that's why I'm here right now sharing with you. I got the lesson. And you really want to share it. There's a statement, and I know, Reggie, I'm going to get it backwards, so I'm going to ask you to share it with the audience. Wayne Dyer says what? He says, when
you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Amen. When you change the way you look at things. And this whole process that Gary Zukav is taking us through is changing the way we look at things. Listen, with Gloria and the statement that I don't know how many of you heard her whole testimony, but one of the statements that you can go back and listen to it on the archive. I think she did this on maybe it was Friday, Oracle Friday last week. But one of the things that stood out for me was she said she was preparing this this presentation. Now, to change the way they do things within her company. And She had made this presentation once before, and it just kind of fell on deaf ears. But it was nagging her and nagging her that the way they were doing things was not the most efficient way. So she went back to the table to try it again. The first time she went through this, she recognized this time, as she's reviewing what she did the last time, she recognized that she was coming from a fearful place. And that she was blaming, you know, so easy for us to blame management, right? And so the tone in her presentation was, even though she was presenting this great idea, was that she was pointing fingers. And so she recognized it this time much more clearly. So what did she do? She changed the way she was looking at things. And there, as she went back and revised, even before she... A few days before, she was looking at this presentation and saying, have I removed all of those fearful thoughts where I was blaming and pointing fingers? Have I removed all of that from this presentation? And so she was still revising, still cleansing, and those negative feelings in this presentation, still changing her perception, changing the way she was looking at it so that she could communicate from a place of love. So you see, it's always a process. We're always refining ourselves. And that's what the whole, you know, the whole thing of a meditation called the purple flame. And the purple flame is all there. They call it, it's part of alchemy, and alchemy is about changing base metals to gold. It's a purification process, but alchemy is really about refining your soul. It's removing all of the negative emotions, the fears that's covering up this pure gold, which is your soul, your spirit. You're purging, you're purifying when you eliminate the fear. And so really, alchemy on the spiritual level is about your personal transformation to reveal the purity of the energy that is within you that we call your soul, that is your connection to God. It is the little piece of God that is in you. So, this is a powerful lesson, very powerful lesson. I love you guys so much. Tomorrow we're going to talk about, couples, and the spiritual guidelines in couples. And you know what? That pretty much is going to take us to the end of the book. He has the epilogue, and then he talks, he has a quick summary. And then, of course, he talks about his online program that you can delve into. But so we're going to hit in couples. It's up to you. You need to let me know if you want to hear the epilogue or not, if you just want to go on through it yourself. But we're going to hit on couples tomorrow. So I hope you join us. Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our closing prayer? Let me turn your mic on.
Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That we are given the power to unlock the doors of mind and enter our temples with prayer. We become one with the secret knowledge, and we become multisensory, and all is made clear. We are motivated by love, and we realize that money comes from the living universe as energy to do good on the planet Earth. Let us stay in the energy of love and light and peace, and love each other as you have loved us. Let us follow the template, the example of the living Christ, Jesus the man who walked the earth to show us how to live this process. Let us exalt this energy within ourselves, and so it is.
And so it is. Thank you so much. I love you. Thank you for allowing us to come into your life this morning and share this beautiful message. And we'll see you tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. God bless.